I want you to turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy, and we'll look this morning in chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. One of the five books of Moses, or that Moses at least was the penman of, and you'll find a marvelous revelation of truth in these verses. Deuteronomy chapter 7, I'd like to read beginning at verse 6, and we'll read through verse number 9. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 through 9. If you have found that place, follow me carefully in the reading, and the word says, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to a thousand generations." As we face a new year, and this year of 1992, and the fact of all of the uncertainties that are before us, somehow the soul cries out for something that is sure, something that is steadfast, something that we can rely upon and depend upon without any reservation. Certainly, I do not think we could cast our confidence and our hope in the economy of our nation or even of our world. We cannot place our confidence in the sureness of our government. We cannot place our confidence in anything that is certain and sure outside of our Lord God. It is an astounding thing to me as a student of the Word, as I read, trying to discern and glean many of the thoughts and comments of theologians of the past relative to what I want to talk to you about this morning. It is a rare thing, and really it was an astounding thing to me to find that the truth that is revealed here about our God was not placed in bold letters at all. It was not given any specific section of study, but rather just simply in passing was mentioned. And that is, I call your attention to what verse number 9 reveals to us about our God, and that is, he is the faithful God. The faithful God. Now, when you read works of theology that are indeed very helpful, you'll run across some of the great attributes of God, and theologians, both past and present, deal at length with those great attributes of God: the omnipotence of God, the omniscience of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, and so on. And all of those things, indeed, are attributed to the character of our God. But apparently, men have failed to understand that all of those great attributes of God are literally vain and meaningless if he is not what the Bible says he is, and that is the faithful God. The faithful God. You'll find that Paul was very fond of that term of ascription in describing our Lord. Paul, the great apostle and writer in the New Testament, you remember, said things like, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." Again, you remember Paul said, "The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." Again, Paul used that expression, "God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able." And again he said, God is faithful, by whom you were called under the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. Over and again, the Apostle Paul reminds us that our God is a faithful God. And then in that very classic verse of 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, John alludes to this very fact of the faithfulness of God as well. And John says, you remember the words of that verse, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I ask you in simple terms this question. What would all of these promises of God mean? And would they be worth our even listening to if he were not a faithful God? Now, the word faithful has many different shades of meaning. But basically, faithful, the word faithful means one who is trustworthy. The word dependable might well describe the meaning of this word faithful. Perhaps even the word consistent. Consistency in life describes that idea of faithfulness. As well, honesty is included in the matter of faithfulness. Truth, integrity, and indeed these things are saying to us all that is included in that word faithful as it describes our great and wonderful God. Throughout the Old Testament, you'll find that God is described as the great and the terrible God. He is described as a God of judgment. And indeed, in the book of Revelation, he is described as a God of wrath. But yet above all of these things, there is that one gem that glimmers in the darkest of night, and that is our God is a faithful God. As I back up just a moment in your thinking, what would these attributes of God be if God were not faithful? The theologian talks about the omnipotence of God, meaning the all-powerfulness of God. And he is all-powerful. There is no power greater. And yet again, what would that power be in relation to us if God were not a faithful God? One of the great concerns of our world leaders now as the country of Russia is being broken up into different states. One of the great concerns is, who will have control of the nuclear power that is already present in that country? Who will have control of that? Will we be able to trust whoever is in control? Will they be faithful to agreements and to treaties and covenants and the like? And so a great concern fills the minds of our world leaders as to the faithfulness or the trustworthiness of a nation that has enough power in their grip in those nuclear weapons, literally, to destroy every soul on this very continent as well as every soul on this planet Earth. And yet, what is omnipotence if there is no faithfulness? If one cannot be trusted, who has all power, it becomes a very frightening thing, to say the least. Again, what if God, as indeed he is, omniscient, all-knowing, but yet God knowing all, if he were not faithful? God knowing all of my need, knowing all of your needs, knowing that we face in the coming day, but yet could not be trusted as one who is faithful to minister to our needs as he knows about them. That would be as well a very frightening, a very discouraging thing. What of the omnipresence of God? The Bible reveals that he is everywhere and can be everywhere at the same time. I make my bed in hell, the psalmist said, thou art there. If I ascend into the heavens, thou art there. But yet, what if that God who is ever present is one who is unfaithful, indifferent to us, unconcerned about us? Even the fact of his presence would be a mockery if we could not count upon him in those times of great need in our life. And then again, I think of that is ascribed by our God, that he is immutable, that he is unchanging. He is the God who changes not. Jesus Christ, our Lord God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What would that mean if He were not a faithful God? It would be nothing but meaningless platitudes. Meaningless, empty, hollow words. If He were not, as the Bible reveals, a faithful God. We talk about a God who loves. And indeed, John says He is love. And yet, what if that God is unfaithful in His love? What if somehow He would say, I will love you if you will meet certain conditions? But no, the Bible reveals that God's love for us is unconditional. But yet if God's love is unconditional, and the Bible reveals that, if God were unfaithful in that love, it would be again a mockery to those who seek to know His love. He is a God of mercy. He is a merciful God, the Scripture says. But what if this God of mercy, who shows pity upon thousands, were unfaithful? And He finds you in a terrible predicament in life. In the straits of life, and yet that God who is not faithful, could you count on Him to have mercy upon you and to show pity to you in your own need? Then again, I'd mention this, that His God is a God of forgiveness. He delights in forgiveness. And yet the Bible reveals that to us of Him. But what if He were unfaithful in that forgiveness? What if here you are and I am loaded down, weighted down with the guilt and the burden of our sin, despairing of life, perhaps ready to blow our brains out in an attempt of self-destruction to get away from that guilt. And yet we come to Him and the preacher said, God will forgive you. But what if you come and ask His forgiveness and God says, I can't do that. That's an unfaithful God. All what I'm saying to you is that this matter of the faithfulness of God is of primary and of basic importance to the truth that is revealed in the Scripture. Now here in verse number 9 in chapter 7 that we've read from, the Lord in that verse is giving a reassurance to Israel of His keeping the covenant that He made with them and assuring them, because of His faithfulness, of victory over the enemy and the opposition that they may face. Thinking of faithfulness, I said to our Sunday school class here a Sunday or so ago, of all of the things a man delights in and is comforted in relation to his wife, is the faithfulness of his wife to him. The thing that comforts a wife's heart is the faithfulness of her husband to her. And yet again, let me say this. There is nothing that delights the heart of God any more than the faithfulness of His people to Himself. You see, a wife could have, for example, great talent. She could be a genius mentally. She could be a woman, a businesswoman of the world, who is gifted with the making of great sums of money and a building great corporations. But if she were unfaithful in her loyalty and in her love to her husband, would any of those talents and gifts and monies and properties have any worth to the husband who delights simply in her faithfulness? Even so, God is a faithful God. You can depend on Him. He is trustworthy in whatever He says, in whatever He does, in whatever He has promised. And yet that God who is faithful delights in seeing reflected in His children that same quality of faithfulness. Now, I don't think the Lord is so excited about our talents and our abilities and the money that we give. The things that we do in that respect, I believe God is thrilled when He finds us faithful. When He finds that we are dependable, that God can count on us, that He can count on us to honor Him in our lives day after day, that God can count on us to be a testimony, a witness for Him. Every Lord's Day, on the first day of the week, our neighbors see us making our way to His house. I believe that delights the heart of our Heavenly Father. More than anything we can ever do or give, He longs for faithfulness. Remember, Paul said, or our Lord said, that He will say to those who have been servants, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. No, he didn't say, well done, thou good and wealthy servant. Are thou good and talented servant? Are thou good and reputable servant? No, but thou good and faithful servant. That's what God looks for, folks, in our life. And the detriment to the church of our Lord in this present day is that lack of faithfulness on the part of people who call themselves followers of Jesus Christ. Unfaithful to his word. Unfaithful in our witness. Unfaithful in our attendance. All that we'd understand that as God is a faithful God, he delights in seeing that attribute reflected in the life of all of his children. That's the most desirable quality in the crown that a man may wear upon his head. Let me just suggest one or two things in passing. First of all, I believe that we need to consider the fact that God is faithful to his person. You say, what do you mean by that? I mean by that, he is faithful to himself. He is a God who, holy as he is faithful to that holiness. Faithful to that purity. Faithful to that righteousness. He will not waver. He will not vary. He is the faithful God. Mr. William Shakespeare, who gave me so much trouble when I was in school, Shakey and I never did hit it off too well. But Mr. Shakespeare said on an occasion these words, "This above all, to thine own self be true. Thou canst not then be false to any man." Be true to yourself. And in being true to yourself, Shakespeare said, you can't be false to anyone else. You see, if God were to violate his own faithfulness, the faithfulness of who he is, of his holiness, of his purity, he could not be faithful to you nor to me. He is the faithful God, indeed faithful to himself. There's an old Latin saying that comes down through time, and that is, the saying says, be what you seem to be. It's a note of cry for faithfulness, of truth, of integrity. Be what you seem to be. Let me ask you this. Are we what we seem to be? We seem to be here a lovely group of men and women. Kind, loving, respectable. And yet, let me ask you this. Are you being what you seem to be? We stand and sing the hymns of our love for Jesus Christ, of our devotion to him, of our surrender to him. Let me ask you something. Are you being what you seem to be? We carry our Bibles with us. Are we what we seem to be? Students of his word? Believers of his truth? Be what you seem to be, the old proverb says. And yet again, God is exactly that. He is what he has revealed himself to be, the holy, the true, the righteous, the faithful God. I'm glad indeed he is. The prophet Malachi in chapter 3 and verse 6 said, recording the words of our Lord to his people, and he said this, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." If God were not faithful, Jacob would have been consumed. You and I would have been consumed. But God is faithful. He does not change regardless of whoever else may change. You see, sometimes men change in their avowed devotion to others. The idea is this. I'll love you as long as you love me. But if you stop loving me, and stop being kind to me, and stop being a friend to me, then you can count me out. I won't love you if you don't love me. But the Bible says of our God, who is unchanging, that he is love. And yet, even though our love wanes for him and our devotion grows cold to him, I'm glad I can tell you here today that there has never been a time when God has not loved you, and furthermore, there never will be a time when he doesn't love you. Now, that doesn't mean that judgment will not come. But there will never be a time when God does not love, for He is love. And yet He is faithful in that love. How often our love, so-called, changes because of circumstances. Because of what somebody said. Because of what somebody did. Or because they ignored me. Or because they did this or didn't do that. Therefore, our love wanes. But God is faithful in His love. Often our love for His church wanes and grows cold. We come with gushing devotion, submitting ourselves, avowing that we'll be faithful to His church. And yet again, there come those times when our love wanes for even His church. But I'm glad God's love never wanes for us. It never changes. It's always the same. He'll never love you any more than He loves you right now. That is supreme. That is superior love. And so then, God indeed is faithful to Himself, faithful to all that He is, faithful to His conviction, faithful to His character. And I mean by conviction what one firmly believes, what one has as a fixed belief, and what God knows He is. He has committed Himself to that. Over in the Hebrew letter, the Bible talks about when there was none greater to swear by, He swore by Himself. He could swear by none any greater other than Himself. He was true. He is faithful indeed to Himself. Well, let me wind it up by asking you to think of this. The faithful God is faithful not only to His person, but He is faithful to His promises. Every promise that He ever made, He's faithful to. He doesn't renege on any covenant that He makes. He doesn't back down on any agreement that He issues forth and has given to us in the precious Word of God. I'm glad that He is faithful in His promise relative to salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That word whosoever is a pretty broad term, isn't it? That includes everybody anywhere. That includes people wherever they are, whatever circumstance, whatever condition they're in. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever believes in Him, Jesus said, would not perish but have everlasting life. Yes, I believe salvation has been promised to us by a faithful God. And the devil often comes along to the child of God, perhaps because he's failed or he's fallen short in his life or become disobedient. And the devil say to him, hey, you're just not saved. That's what's wrong with you. And yet again, the promise of God is not based upon our faithfulness. It is based upon His faithfulness. The faithfulness of His very promise. If He were to deny that, He would be not God. He would be less than God. Not only His promise of salvation, but I think of His promise of security. Jesus said, and I give unto them, John chapter 8, verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. For it's John chapter 10, I believe. John 10, verse 28, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Do you believe God's faithful in that? I believe He's faithful as long as I do what I ought to do, and then I'm secure in my salvation. That's not what He said. You see, that's the reason we need to understand that salvation is by God's grace. It's not by our works. It's not by our doing good or keeping up. But the simple thing is, God gives to the believing sinner the gift of salvation. And it is a gift that is promised with security. If a saved man could ever be less than secure, the blood of Jesus Christ would be of no avail. The promises of God would literally be empty if God were not faithful. Not only His promise of salvation and security, but I tell you, there is His promise of supply. Philippians 4 and verse 19, you'll remember, says, and my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, I've not always had the things I wanted in my life since I got saved. But I've learned along the line that the things that I wanted that I didn't get, I really didn't need. A lot of things a fellow wants sometimes, and after he gets them, he finds out he doesn't want them anyhow. The truth is, the Lord said, I'll supply your need according to my riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now, I know oftentimes people take that verse out of its setting. Paul is saying in that Philippian letter, if you'll supply the needs of those who are in need and give of your means, then you can bank on it. I'll supply your need according to my riches. You have supplied out of your need, out of your abundance and out of your possessions. Now you've given to others. Now, he said, rely upon this faithful promise. I'll supply your need according to my riches and the riches of God in Christ Jesus. Not only that, but let me close with this promise and remind you that God is faithful in this promise, the promise of His second coming. The Lord promised to come again, folks. Are you aware of that? He said, if I go away, I will come again. I will come again. Now, either that's a meaningless, empty platitude or statement, or it's true. The Lord Jesus, if He is the faithful one, meant exactly what He said. We say it's been at least 2,000 years going on since He was born and lived on this earth. Yes. And every tick of the clock brings us closer to the literal fulfillment of that promise. I will come again. Now, He has promised to come for us, those who are saved. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That's the promise of His coming for us. But yet again, the Bible relates that He will come with us. After He has taken His bride out and Himself, the Bible reveals that He will come with His saints. Behold, He cometh with 10,000s of His saints. He will come with us, and with Him we shall reign as priests and kings unto our God. Now, if those promises are given of the faithful God, I guarantee you, you can bank on it, that's where history is headed. I cannot tell you the purpose of all the present day events, but I can tell you the ultimate purpose. They're heading us in that great direction of the coming of Christ and of His establishing His kingdom upon this earth. Please don't believe that. Whether you believe it or not, God's faithful. God said, I've said it and I'll do it. It is my promise and God will accomplish it. I'm glad then that the Lord gave us this marvelous statement here in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7, where He revealed to Israel, now prior to their entering into that promised land, know therefore, know this, be assured of this, that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him, and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. God will keep His covenant. I want to ask you this. Have you ever made a covenant with God? Have you made a vow to Him in your life? I dare say that most of us have. Lord, if you'll just get me out of this mess now, I promise you I'll serve you. Lord, if you'll just keep me from dying and raise me up, then I'm going to really be faithful to you. Lord, if you'll bless me and increase me in my needs financially, Lord, I promise you I'm going to give more and more to the spreading of the gospel of Christ. Are you faithful to your vows? Are you faithful to the vows that you made at a marriage altar? Faithful to the husband, the wife whom God's given you? Is there a faithfulness in your life that is a reflection of the character and the nature of our God, who is the faithful God? God help us to determine by His grace that we'll be faithful to Him this year as never in our life. Faithful to Him, to His Word, to His church, to His cause, to the Savior who loved us and gave himself for us. Let's bow our head for prayer. Heavenly Father, we must confess that often in our life we have been unfaithful to Thee. We have made many a vow in the heat of emotion and brokenness of heart at an altar prayer. But so miserable a creature as we are and so weak, we have not kept those vows. And somebody here this morning has made a vow, Lord, if you'll just spare my loved one, Lord, I'll be faithful to you. I'll do this, I'll do that, and yet there's been a failure. Help us to know that even though we failed, you yet are faithful in the promise to forgive us. We don't deserve that forgiveness. But Lord, you didn't say you'd forgive us because we deserved it, but because you're faithful. And may we, as we begin this new year here on this first Sunday of the new year, may we launch out into the sea of this new year with a confidence in our heart, a faith knowing that thou would be faithful. The promise that you gave us that you'd never leave us nor forsake us. Some of our folks are going to go through some deep waters this year. Some are going to face things they've never faced in their life before. But may they recognize and be assured that you'll not abandon, you'll not forsake, you'll not give up on us, but you'll be with us. Help us to know that, to believe it, to live by it. Now, Father, if there's somebody here this morning who's never come to know this faithful one, may they right now open their heart, confessing their need for Christ, admitting to you what you have said about all of us, that we've sinned, that we've come short of the glory of God, that we're sinners and sinners need a Savior. And Lord, I pray that you'll help folks today that have never received you to do it. There are some who may be, Lord, saved, and yet they have not been obedient to you, and that you've taught them in the Word. Maybe some have failed to be a part of a Bible-believing church. Some have failed to follow you in baptism. Some have failed, Lord, in their vows and commitments to one another. Lord, may you somehow help us today, by thy grace, to be faithful as never in our life. May we be filled with faith and faithfulness. And I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Stand with me, if you will, as we stand together. I want us to sing a stanza of a song, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I'm the clay. Listen, I don't know of a greater song, if you can sing it with meaning, that you could ever sing other than that song. Are you really willing for God to have his way in your life? Are you really willing to say, Lord, whatever you say, that's fine with me. That's what I want to do. I pray that we can say it with all of our heart. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, you don't know if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven. Some of you don't. Listen, you're heading out. You're already in that direction. I mean, you might as well settle that. But are you ready? Are you ready to meet this God who offers you his Son, who offers you forgiveness? Are you ready? The day's coming. Be no excuses, no getting around it. No changing of schedule. We're going to meet him. If you've never met him, come and do that right now. If you're a Christian, you've drifted away from the Lord. Things are not right in your life with God. Why don't you come and ask the Lord to forgive and cleanse and renew your life and your commitment to him. While we sing on the first stanza, you know it by heart. Sing it. Lift it out prayerfully as you sing it. You come as God speaks to your heart. Right now, come while we sing it.